I was thinking before, you know, diving in the book of Revelation, one thing is, Revelation is the only prophecy book in the New Testament. You know, if you compare that to the Old Testament, there's, you know, 14, some say 15 books of prophecy in the Old Testament. Some consider Lamentations a book of prophecy, but at least 14, four major prophets, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, Daniel, 10 minor prophets. A good chunk of the Old Testament is prophecy, but only one book in the New Testament. And, you know, I was thinking, it really doesn't pertain to us for the bulk of the book. 16 chapters in the book of Revelation, you know, cover the Great Tribulation period. And it's really for the Jewish person, because, you know, it's a time when the Jews return to Christ, accept their Messiah. It's a time of Jacob's trouble. It's a time that God pours out his wrath upon the earth. And it's really, you know, not real edifying for us to, you know, really get into and study so in depth all the, you know, seven seals, seven trumpet judgments, seven bowl judgments, all the judgments in the book of Revelation. But one thing I was thinking, you know, we're going to go through it and highlight maybe what's more important is the placement of the book of Revelation. How, you know, looking at Revelation in the perspective of end times prophecy and how, you know, it pertains to us from that perspective. You know, the Bible tells us that Jesus said, you know, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. For in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would tell you, and I go to prepare a place, and if I go, I will come again to receive you to myself. Where I am, you may be also. The promise that Jesus is coming back. In the book of Acts, in chapter 1, the Bible tells us that the disciples or the apostles were sitting there and they watched Jesus ascend into heaven. And then an angel testified to the apostles. They said, why are ye men of Galilee standing here looking up? This same Jesus who rose, you know, ascended, is coming again. Testifying, Jesus testified himself that he's coming again. The angels testified that he's coming again. And meanwhile, the Bible tells us that he ascended on high. He's at the right hand of the Father. He's making intercession for us. He's active in our life from heaven. I was thinking about one of them panoramic charts. I swear I have one somewhere. I couldn't find it in my office. But because they're all kind of, you know, I always looked at them and think, man, they're kind of dorky, you know, to kind of teach from them charts. And yet, they're important to glean the perspective that biblical, you know, placement, timing, that, you know, we're in the church age now, you know, that when Jesus died on the cross, rose into heaven, died, buried, and rose again, the cross kind of split that timeline, and he went into heaven, ascended to heaven. The church age began. Book of Acts, chapter 2. And how now we're in the church age. Jesus is in heaven. And how he's interceding for us. But Paul talks about the church as somewhat of a mystery. The Bible tells us that the next coming event and prophecy regarding the church will be the rapture of the church. The placement of the book of Revelation, really, the bulk of it, transpires after the rapture. So, we're going to look at that a little bit tonight. But, the title, Revelation, look in verse 1. The revelation of Jesus Christ, go to verse 3. This is the only book that has a built-in blessing. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. So it's a blessing. to go through the book of Revelation, to read, to hear, to understand, to apply. But beginning in verse 1, we're going to read just three verses. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave him to show his servants things which must shortly take place. And he sent and signified it by his angel to his servant John, who bore witness to the word of God and to the testimony of Jesus Christ, to all things that he saw. Blessed is he who reads and those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. I think we should read that verse a few times as we go through the book of Revelation. But built-in blessing. But the next event, end times prophecy regarding the church, is the rapture. And you know, we talk about it sometimes, but most of the time that I've talked about the rapture has been kind of like in a quick sweep when it's included in the other books. In Thessalonians, I hit about it, and Corinthians, you know, but different times. But if you turn back to 1 Thessalonians, we're going to take a look at a few scriptures. Chapter 4. The most important scripture when it comes to, you know, the doctrine of the rapture, talks about what's up and coming for us, the church, his church. In verse 16, chapter 4, "For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, brethren," or "therefore comfort one another with these words." Chapter 4, verse 16, talks about the rapture of the church. And how we, you know, gain or glean this doctrine from this passage and a couple others in Scripture. But, you know, a couple things to note. One is, you know, the order or the event that takes place. In verse 16, "The Lord himself will descend." No warning. You know, the Bible doesn't say we're going to see him. It's interesting to review this because of really, you know, the substance of what the truth of the rapture. But the Bible tells us that the Lord will descend without warning, and we're not going to be, we might have like a little sensation, but it's not going to be something we'll be able to apprehend. It's going to happen so quick. The Bible tells us that the word that we get our word rapture from is we shall be caught up together with him. That word in the Greek is harpazo. Harpazo, according to Strong's lexicon, it means to be violently snatched away. There's a forcefulness to the word definition. It means to be caught up or taken up, but it with a seizing or a forcefulness to it. So, you know, the word harpazo, where we get our word rapture from, is the meaning of it is we're going to be taken up in a, you know, quick, sudden, forceful manner. But there's a caught up, pluck up, pulled up, snatched up forcefully by the collar. The order of the events, notice, first, there will be the voice of an archangel, something happening in heaven. The trump of God, an announcement. You know, we notice that, you know, through the scripture, what the trumpet represented was a signal or time to assemble the you know, for assembling, or a different, you know, a battle cry or a warning, means of warning to alert the people. But here, the trump of God, another thing in heaven. But notice, the Lord will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God. Then the dead in Christ will rise first. That always kind of troubled me, because, you know, what do you mean the dead in Christ? First of all, that's an oxymoron. For no one in Christ is dead. And you look up this word, you know, in the placement. Some people have difficulty. Now, when we die, you and I, my mother and my dad passed away a couple years ago. Where are they? Well, the Bible says, Paul says, to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord. Well, then what's it mean here? The dead in Christ shall rise first. Wouldn't that mean that the dead are down here? But if you look up the word, it really speaks of their body. It speaks of the corpse. So that brings perspective. They're with God in heaven because no one in Christ is dead. But their body is dead. Put it in the ground. It'll be raised first to meet the Lord in the air. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. Turn to 1 Corinthians 15, another passage regarding the rapture. Interesting. In 1 Corinthians 15, look in verse 51. The next coming event of prophecy. Paul, explaining the difference between the earthly body and the heavenly body, goes on to reveal a mystery. In verse 51, chapter 15, 1 Corinthians, "Behold, I tell you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet," that's consistent with the verse we just read, "for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality." Paul, here in the book of Corinthians, talks about the main thing he's talking about is the change that takes place during this time that we refer to as the rapture. In the moment, it's going to happen sudden, without warning, we're not going to see him. It's going to happen forcefully. He's going to take us quickly, body and all, those who are alive in Christ, body and all, those who are dead, spirits with him already, their bodies will be raised and they'll be changed at that same time. But here, he tells us a mystery that, you know, not all are going to die or sleep. Different word. It's not the same word it refers to in the about the corpse, but it's a different word talking about being in Christ when one dies. He uses the word sleep. But there's going to be a change that takes place suddenly. Our body, this corruptible body, will take on an incorruptible new body. Look in Philippians chapter 3. One more verse about the rapture, a bit to the right. In chapter 3, look in verse 21. "To him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus to all generations." That's Ephesians, I'm sorry, Philippians. "Who will transform our lowly body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able even to subdue all things by himself." Again, it's going to be sudden, and it's going to be forceful, and it's going to be a big change. The Bible tells us that this corruptible body will take on an incorruptible body. This word for immortality really means deathlessness. a body that doesn't die. But in a moment, in the twinkle of an eye, Paul says that word means instant. We're not going to be prepared. Even the sensation, if we get a slight sensation before the rapture, this is all conjecture. It's not going to be quick. We're not going to realize. You know, you see some of these movies, they look up and they get like a little sensation, you know, in the sky. I don't believe that. I believe it's going to be so quick, we're going to be sitting here and say, quicker than that. A twinkle of an eye. We're gone. That's what the Bible, you know, describes. In the moment, in the twinkle of an eye, in an instant, the sound of a trump, the dead shall rise first, and we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him. And the Bible tells us that we're going to be changed. And going to the book of Revelation, this is another thing referred to, you know, as a doctrine of the first resurrection. Look in chapter 20, verse 6. All this same time period, all this same event. In verse 6, blessed and holy is he who has part in the first resurrection. Over such, the second death has no power. But they shall be priests of God and of Christ and shall reign with him 1,000 years. The second resurrection. The first resurrection. I'm sorry? 20, verse 6. First resurrection. Bible tells us, John the Apostle tells us, when we see him, we shall be like him. You know, it makes me think that we're going to be raptured. It's going to be sudden. We're going to be taken forcefully, without warning. We're just going to be, you know, we're not going to know what hit us. The next experience or sense we have, we're going to open our eyes, we're going to see him. For he's going to cause us to join him. And really, I honestly believe that's what's going to be the changing, generating power, is the first glimpse of him. For when we see him, we shall be like him. The power of Jesus Christ in his glorified body receiving his church. We're not going to know what happened. What's that? In 1 John 3, 2. Somewhere around there. But how, when we see, you know, next thing that we're going to recognize will be him. And we shall be like him. Morally, we'll be like him. Physically, we'll be like him, having a new glorified body, the rapture. Mentally, having the mind of Christ, no more sin, be like him. We're going to have a spiritual body. I don't think it's going to be quite as glorious as his, but, no, way less glorious than his, but like his, of his nature. 1 Corinthians 13:12. For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now I know in part, but then I shall know just as I'm also known. In an instant, we're going to be changed, and he's going to change us in the fashion like him, Christ, as he descends. The Bible tells us that he's at the right hand of the Father making intercession for us in his heavenly ministry. We're down here in the church age. Before the book of Revelation really, the placement of it time-wise on the timeline really kicks in and engages this event as the rapture will take place suddenly, instantly. Christ's first return for the church. We meet the Lord in the air. Jesus, when he was asked in the book of Matthew by the disciples, what will the signs of your coming be like? What will be the end of the age? He says something interesting. You don't have to turn there. I'll turn there real quick. In Matthew 24, he says, Now learn this parable from the fig tree. When its branch has already become tender and put forth leaves, you know that summer is near. So you also, when you see all these things, know that it's near at the doors. Assuredly, I say to you, this generation by no means will pass away until all these things will take place. At the doors, it's near. We're to be watching and waiting, and you know, we can't really prepare for the rapture. All we can do is hang with him. But the placement, the signs, we're to be watching. The placement of the timetable, really before the bulk of the book of Revelation pertains. It pertains to the time of the Great Tribulation, mainly. And I just wanted to touch on like a little introduction here in the book of Revelation. If you go back to chapter 1, look in verse 19, chapter 1, book of Revelation. I said the bulk of the book of Revelation, 16 chapters regard talking about the Great Tribulation period, the missing week that Daniel speaks about. But look in verse 19, chapter 1. I write these things which you have seen, the things which are, the things which will take place after this. Now, some refer to this as like the table of contents for the book of Revelations. The things that were, the things that are, and the things that will take place. One, things that were in the past. Really, that's the vision that John had as he wrote about it after the fact. Chapter 1, most of chapter 1. Chapter 2 and 3 talk about the things that are, the present time. The message to the seven churches. And then beginning in verse 1, chapter 4 through 19 is the Great Tribulation period. So three divisions in the book of Revelation. And one important note is verse 3, this built-in blessing. This is God's word. He promises, blessed is he who reads and he who those who hear the words of this prophecy and keep those things which are written in it, for the time is near. And that's all I'm going to get into. We'll jump into, you know, more as we dig further in. But let's stand. The rapture of the church. That's going to be a glorious sight. And it's a fact. You know, you can let's close our eyes. You know, the reality that, you know, during the rapture, we open our eyes and we see him. And the impact and the power of seeing him changing our lowly bodies and giving, when we know that when we see him, we'll be like him. That he changes us. No more death, no more sickness. Immortality. An immortal body, spiritual, glorious, no more sin. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for the promise that you have and the love that you have for us, your church, your body. We ask, Lord, that you do grant us and give us perspective and understanding about your word and the timetable and the placement and the panoramic understanding, Lord, of your grand plan and scheme of things. Lord, help us not live under fear of judgment, but the freedom to love you and to live with you. Lord, open our hearts, draw us close, have your way. In Jesus' name, amen.